Amen, amen, amen. It is a joy to be with you all today. My name is Pastor Mike Floyd. If you missed last week, you missed a great message from Pastor Justin. I encourage you to go back and listen to that. Him and several others, they're off. They're over in Honduras, so please be in prayer for them. We got many traveling. It's spring break, so many are on the road and many are traveling, so continue to pray for that. But I am encouraged to see you guys in the house of the Lord in spite of the time change, in spite of all the plans you got ready for this weekend. You are here today, and so my prayer is that we walk through God's word together, okay? Go ahead and stand with me. Let's dive in. I got a lot to cover and I don't have a lot of time because I want to get you out of here so you can go and eat and get ready to go. We're going to be in Psalm 27. Go ahead and make your way there. And while you're making your way there, again, I am thankful and grateful of the privilege to always come before you and preach God's word. It's something I love to do and it's something I don't take lightly. If you're there, say amen. Good, you guys are already talking back. I love it. Psalm 27, it reads, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumble and fail. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I desire of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. Oh, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsook me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathed out of violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Verse 14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Let us pray. Our Lord and God, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for such a time as this to gather together with saints and to walk through your word. It is my prayer that you allow your word to fall on good ground, that when we leave here, God, we will leave here challenged, charged, and changed as a result of our time here today. It's in your name that we pray. All who love the Lord said amen. You may claim your seats. Today, I want to talk to you about walking in confidence. Walking in confidence. You know, when me and Jasmine were dating before she begged me to marry her, that's how the story goes, promise. But when we were dating, one of the things that Jasmine loved to do was go to Disney World, go to Universal. And Jasmine likes to get on roller coasters. She's an adrenaline junkie. She loves that stuff. And so when we were dating, we go to Universal. And at the time, Jasmine did not know that I didn't like roller coasters. I don't like heights. I don't like any of those things. But nevertheless, we go to Universal and we were at the Hogwarts land and we're enjoying all the things that Hogwarts has to offer. And she gets excited about the Dueling Dragons ride. And so being her boyfriend at the time and wanted to show her how confident and great a man I was, I said I too would get on this ride. And I remember it vividly. We're waiting in line. And one thing, if y'all ever go to these places, man, people get a little bit too close. I just can't take that. But you know, we're waiting in line. We're hanging out. And as we're getting closer, I'm having an internal conversation with God because God knows what's going on in the inside, while on the outside, I look cool, calm, and ready to conquer this Dueling Dragons ride. I'm talking to God, and I'm making a plea with God. God, please, you know my feelings about these roller coasters. You know my fear of heights. You know all the things that I'm worried about with this. Can you do something supernatural right now, God? And in that moment, we get on the ride and we take our seat and they get going and the ride takes off. And I promise you, I am a Baptist through and through. But once that ride took a turn, I started speaking in tongues, y'all. I mean, I was quoting scripture. I mean, I was working my way through Romans 8. I'm calling out to God, get me off this ride. And she's got a smile on her face over there because she likes those things. She loves those things. Typically, you and I, we walk confidently when we're not afraid. I wish I could come back and tell you that I've been able to overcome this. I wish I could tell you that recently we took a trip to Disney and with my daughter, I got on this slinky ride and I conquered my fear. Well, we did take a trip to Disney. We did get on this slinky ride. And my daughter was so encouraging to her dad while he was on this ride. It was a great moment for me because she said, "Dad, I'm glad it's you on this ride sitting in the seat with me." And she said, "Because I knew you would just let me do what I want to do." And her eyes were open, my eyes were closed, and I was scared as could be on this slinky ride. And they said, "That's a baby roller coaster." But I was fearful of that. And when we are afraid, we can't walk in confidence no matter how much we try to make it look on the outside. Why? Because fear will do something to us. It will show up eventually. David writes this psalm in Psalm 27, and we don't know the specific circumstances that he's facing, but what we do know is that David is going through a trial. David is going through a difficult situation that will cause him to be tested in his faith. David would be caused to be pressed, to be fearful. Yet David, in this psalm, he shows us how we can walk confidently in God. I love the psalms. I love the Psalter, as some would call it. You see, the Psalter is just the hymn book that the Jews had. The Psalter is what the writers would go to, and they would go out with their laments and confessions before God. They would explain all of their emotions, but they would remain faithful to God. And David writes this. And David, he penned a lot of psalms. Like what he says here, and the first thing I want you to see, if you and I are going to walk confident, first thing we've got to see is that God will deliver us from our enemies. Look at the text. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumble and fail. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. How will God deliver David? How will God take care of David? God will take care of David by being David's light. David confesses that the Lord is my light. What David is saying is that though it may be dark outside, he's got a light. And that light is God. Because David recognized that if he focused on God, if he put all of his attention on God, God will light up the way so that David can truly see that even though his enemies are there, he shouldn't worry about them. David would really be able to see that it's illogical for him to even be worried and fearful. Are you going to walk with me today? What David is saying, the Lord is my light. Why? Because it's in darkness that you and I get nervous and terrified and scared. That's why growing up, many of us grew up with a night light. Why? Because in the dark, you see a little teddy bear in the dark could look like some kind of ugly looking clown that'll make you imagine all kinds of scary things to happen. In the dark is where you think about the boogeyman hiding under the bed. But just like those things are irrational, and typically your parent would come in, they would turn on the light and say, look, I want you to see there's nothing in the closet. What David is saying in the midst of his trouble, in the midst of his situation, he's got to look to God to be his light, to realize that even though he's got enemies surrounding him, who are they compared to the Almighty God? David says, how will God deliver David? By being David's light. Is God your light today? Are you looking to God to be your light? But not only does David say, the Lord is my light. Look, he says, the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. How will God deliver David? By being David's strength. I love that. David makes it very clear. The Lord is the strength of my life. In other words, what David is saying, if you see any strength in me, it's because of the God who's inside of me. So he's not worried about what would happen. The Lord is the strength of my life. Is the Lord the strength of your life? What David is arguing for you and me today is that he say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody You've been around somebody that's stronger than you. You realize that they're bigger than you. The situation that you're in is greater than anything you have to overcome. What David is saying is that he's not worried about the situation because it doesn't require his strength. It requires God's strength, and God is the strength of his life. In other words, David knows he's going to be delivered from his enemies. Why? Because God is the strength of his life. Is God the strength of your life? Are you relying on other things to strengthen you? Are you relying on others to strengthen you? David said, the Lord is the strength of my life. But not only that, how will God deliver David? By being David's salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Salvation just means deliverer, liberator, rescuer. In other words, David is saying, look, I need rescue, and I know the one that's going to come and save me is the one that can save everyone. And his name is Jesus. David recognized that it was God who would do it. You see, David is painting this picture about being in a struggle, about being tormented by different things. And in verse 2, look at what he says. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh. Think about that. Look at the language. David is trying to paint this picture of going through a difficult time where you realize that those that are coming against you, they're like wild animals that tear away the flesh. David is saying, look, when my enemies come against me to eat up my flesh, but not only that, though an army may encamp against me. I don't know about you, but imagine being surrounded by an army that's coming against you. And the war may arise against me. David is saying, look at this. I got people coming to get me against me, trying to eat up my flesh. I got war and I got an army encamped against me. But what does he say? And have you noticed what I missed over? Have you seen it? David said it very clearly. David said in verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? David was very clear with his understanding. David asked a very, very good question. He said, whom shall I fear? Let me ask you, who are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Because oftentimes, as believers in Christ, we walk around talking like we got a good game. We walk around like Peter, like, oh, nobody's going to forsake you. I'm not going to forsake you. But when the trials of life come, we go running scared. Why? Because truthfully, we're afraid of man. Truthfully, we're afraid of mankind. Truthfully, we are fearful. And in those moments, David asked the question, who should I fear? I know my enemies have risen up against me and they surrounded me. And David provides his wavering, unwavering confidence. Look at verse 3. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Look at this confidence that David has. In the presence of an army, he says, my heart will not fear. Why? The war may rise against me. In this I will be confident. Well, what is David confident in? Go back to verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. David is confident that God will deliver him. David is confident that God will be his strength. David is confident that God will be his salvation. Dearly beloved, let me ask you a question. When you face trials, when you face situations that are perplexing and challenging, what are you confident in? Are you confident that God will deliver you from your enemies? Are you struggling? Lacking faith to believe that God can do that in which he said he would do. You see, if you and I are going to walk confident in this life, we've got to understand that God will deliver us. I wrote it like this, brothers and sisters, it is illogical, irrational, and inconsistent for born-again believers to be fearful in the face of one's enemies. Did you catch that? It's illogical. It's inconsistent. You and I shouldn't be fearful in the face of enemies. Why? Because God is on our side. That's why I love the way Paul wrote it. Paul wrote it like this in Romans 8:38. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If nothing can separate us, what are you afraid of? Oftentimes, with our child, Piper, I've got to go in the room and I've got to remind her about, hey, it's okay. You got nothing to be fearful of. Daddy's here. I'm going to help you. I'm going to protect you. You got nothing to be afraid of. How often are we realizing and understanding with unwavering faith and unwavering confidence that our God will deliver us? I need to keep painting this picture. If you and I are going to walk in confidence, we must know that God will deliver us from our enemies. Second, we must understand that God's sanctuary is a safe haven from our enemies. Look at what David writes. David says it like this. He says, "One thing I desire of the Lord, one thing I desire of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Look at what David is doing. He's got a laser focus on God. Let me help some of y'all today. Because some of y'all are so focused on your problems and your trials and your situation and your circumstance that you forgot about the living God. And what David is saying, look, I know I got all these things going on, but one thing I desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. God's sanctuary is a safe haven. Look at it. I desire that I would seek that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and acquire in his temple. What is it that you desire today? Do you desire that God just relieves you of your pain, that God just takes all those things away? Or do you desire God himself? David's desire was in God and God alone. And a byproduct of that, David was confident that God would deliver him, but he wanted God more than he wanted the deliverance. Oh, y'all just gonna, I know y'all, the time to change and some of y'all sleeping and you ain't gonna wake up. I'll just preach to the computer I got up here. What David said, he says, God's sanctuary is a safe haven from our enemies. Look, verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed somebody to protect you? Have you ever been in a situation where you needed to go to a safe place? You needed to be in a safe spot? Oh, I'm just going to, okay, none of y'all have. All y'all just live life and never had to run, never had to go get to a safe spot in life. What David is saying is that God's sanctuary is a safe haven from our enemies. You do realize that that's what the church is. You do understand that's why in Hebrews it tells us don't forsake the assembling of others. Why? Because you come to the house of God to be encouraged by the people of God. And maybe if you're going through a trial and situation in your life, Paul would tell us in 2 Corinthians that God, the God of all comfort, will provide for us comfort so that we can comfort others in their affliction. I wish I had some help, because God's sanctuary is a safe haven from our enemies. That means when I'm going through some stuff, when I'm going through some trials in my life, I recognize that I got to get to the house of God. I got to get to the house of God to be with the people of God so that way we can worship God. And that way I'm not thinking about all my problems and all my situations I've got going on. Yo, this is why when we worship God, when we sing to God, what it's to do is to remove us from focusing on the things of this world and to fix our eyes on him. That's what David was doing. That's why he said it like this. One thing I have desired, O Lord, that I will seek. Man, are you seeking after God? Are you running after God? Are you truly seeking him? I'm talking about like a high school boy seeking a girlfriend. You ever see those boys? I mean, those boys, when they want a girlfriend, I mean, they are going after, they find out what she's doing. Okay, man, I'm saying good stuff. Y'all just ain't gonna give me nothing. I mean, I'm adding stuff to it. But that's what David was doing. He was seeking God. He was running after God. Let me ask you this. Let me see if I can help paint this picture for you. You ever been around somebody that lacked confidence? I mean, we all know it. You got the coworker, you got the student you've been around, you got the family member. They just lack confidence. I mean, just weird as can be, just fumbling, bumbling, and just have no confidence in the world. And sometimes you feel bad and sorry for them because you're like, oh man, they just, you know, you watch them play a sport and they just have no confidence whatsoever. I imagine Is that what we look like when we show we don't have confidence in God? Not confidence in ourselves, but you do know that our inability to remain faithful in trials shows us that we don't have confidence in God. And we too are walking around in this world like, I'll be honest with you guys. Like, this year as Christians, we got to understand that I know it's an election year and we got two people that are 80 years old that should be in senior citizens' homes, and we don't understand confidence that our God is sovereign. What are we doing? Who cares who wins the election? Our God is sovereign. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But oftentimes, we got Christians running around, oh, what am I going to do? Who's going? Man, I don't care who wins. Why? Because God's sanctuary is a safe haven from my enemies. I got to move on. But let me say it like this. God's sanctuary is a safe haven from our enemies, and it produces in us hope that bursts forth into a doxology of thanks to God. Look at the hope that comes out of this. Look here. Verse six. I want you to see it. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord our God. Y'all know I make fun of y'all for not talking. Why? Because I don't understand how you could come into the house of God, the one who's delivered you from all the things you've gone through throughout the week. But maybe you said, I didn't go through anything that week. Well, he's delivered you from something. And you get all quiet in the house of God. What David is saying is, look, my understanding of what God is doing in my life produces in me a hope that makes me burst forth and sing praises to God. Theology always leads to doxology. Always does. That's why he says, therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Third thing I want you to see is that supplication to God relieves us of anxiety and fear. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. You realize what's going on. David is praying. I don't know if you noticed, but David is actually praying to God. This is a prayer. David's saying, God, I got to talk to you. I've got to get some things off my heart. There's some things that are going on, and I need to spend some time with you. I got to talk to you. But not only does David want to talk to God, David wants to be heard by God. Look what he says. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. David, in the midst of his trials, in the midst of his circumstances, he is quoting God to God. David is crying out to the Lord. David is asking God to hear him. He says in verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. You see, David, not only is he praying, but not only does he want to be heard, David starts to remind himself of the character of God. Look what he says here. He says, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. David is remembering the things of God and how God had helped him. And not only that, he says, oh God of my salvation. He says, you're the God of my salvation. David is reminding himself of the character of God. And oftentimes in life, when we're going through a situation, the reason why we're running around like Chicken Little, like the sky is falling, is because we are not reminded of the character of God. As a matter of fact, let me help somebody. Some of y'all, when you're going through stuff, instead of asking God and talking to God, you put it on social media. I mean, just a full list of prayer requests, and you know, it's like, man, there's certain y'all know who you just put stuff up there, just sharing all your business, just sharing everything up there, so that way everybody can see it, knowing good and well people ain't gonna be praying for that. I know they write in the comments with the prayer emojis. Prayer emojis don't mean you're praying; it's just a prayer emoji. But what you and I have to do, we have to make supplication to God. Why? Because when we talk to God, it is God who can solve the problem. Y'all, did you catch me? Because when you post it online, that post online can't solve your problem. When you're doing those types of things, when you're talking to other people, those people can't solve your problem. I'm going to keep saying it till you realize what I'm trying to do. You're spending all your time talking to people who can't solve your problem. I don't know about you, but I like to get things done and I like to get decisions made. And there are times in my life where I've got to talk to somebody that can solve my problem. And it's no offense to you as a manager. I just need somebody that can make a decision. When I'm calling Comcast, I don't need the person on the phone from another country. I need somebody that has the authority to solve the situation. When I'm in Best Buy trying to buy something, I don't need you that works a little part-time. I need the store manager that can fix this situation, because there are times in my life that I'm going through a trial. I don't need to post it online. I need to get on my knees and go to the one who can fix the situation. And it's when we do that that we are relieved from anxiety and fear. That's what David is trying to get us to see. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your sovereign away. David was afraid of being abandoned. David didn't want to be abandoned. Look, that's the language he's using. He says, don't hide your face from me. Don't turn your servant away in anger. You know what the enemy, one of the greatest tricks of the enemy is to make you feel like you're alone. It's to make you feel like God does not care, nor does God see your situation. That is a lie from the enemy. And what David was saying, God, don't abandon me now. Don't leave me now, God. God, we've gone through far. And what David is trying to remind himself that, you know what, God won't leave me. Look what he says in verse 10. He says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Come on, y'all. That's the most abandoned you could be. He's talking about an orphan. He said, look, even if I'm abandoned by my father and mother, there's a God who sees and there's a God who cares that will take care of me. That's why we make supplication to God. Why? Because that supplication to God, those prayers to God, will relieve us of our anxiety and fear. And so you and I can walk through this life being confident of those things. Who do you talk to about your problems? Where do you go about your problems? You know, I'm reminded of this with Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh that he went to God multiple times, and he cried out to God, God, take this thorn away. God, remove it. God, remove it. What did God tell Paul? Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I love how Paul looked at it. Paul said, therefore, most surely, gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, boast in my weaknesses. Why? Because when I am weak, then he is strong. It is not your strength that God needs. It's through your ability to understand, and it is by his strength that we are able to walk confidently in this life. I've got to close before I break another microphone. Last thing I want you to see. Supplication to God allows us to wait on God. Look here. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breath out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, in all my studying, I couldn't figure out, and many scholars couldn't, they couldn't figure out exactly what situation David was going through that allowed him to write this particular psalm. We don't know the occasion, we don't know the circumstance, but what we do know, it was something that was bothering him. And it was bothering him to the point where he penned these words. But what David does, at the end of it, he says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's why I said it like this. Supplication to God allows us to wait on God. I know waiting is hard for us. I don't like waiting. Can't stand waiting. If you've driven with me, you understand that. God's not through with me. I'm, you know, working on me. We just took a trip to Disney. Didn't like waiting. I paid extra just to, you know, I want to get me through the line. We don't like waiting. But let me help you with this. Our capacity to patiently await God's timing serves as a gauge of our faith in him. I'll say it again. Our capacity to patiently await God's timing serves as a gauge of our faith in him. You and I can walk confidently. Why? Because we know God is in control. He's sovereign. And I know it, we're people of the book. We like to say God is sovereign and God is in control. But oftentimes we don't walk like that. We don't talk. We don't live our lives with that confidence. What David is saying is that you and I have to wait on the Lord. You know what waiting does? When you and I have to wait, it puts you in a position and a posture ready to learn. When you've been waiting on God and God's not answered your prayer and God's not done something in your life, you know what it does? It'll make you shut up sometimes and realize that you got to just let God be God. That's why David said in verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. David got to the point where he said, I'm going to stop talking. Just teach me, Lord. Teach me. Show me. He says, and lead me in smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. David was ready to learn. Are you ready to learn? Maybe God is trying to teach you a lesson, but he's like, you got to wait. I'm trying to teach you something, but you're missing it. So in order for you to get to the place where you can receive the lesson that I want to teach you, I need to get your heart in the right place. In order to get your heart in the right place, I need for you to sit and wait. Oh, y'all, okay. I'm just going to move because y'all, you know. Look, I love the Bible. The Bible is so clear. Have you ever thought about the example of those who refused to wait on God? You ever thought about those that said, God said, hey, wait for me. And those that said, look, we're not going to wait on God. We're going to go ahead of God. We're going to move ahead of God. I don't know how often you read your Bible, but do you think it worked out well for those who went ahead of God and just pushed open doors, even though God said, look, this is not the right time? I'll give it to you. Spoiler alert. It didn't. It didn't go well for those who went ahead of God. You can't do that. You know, somebody had asked me, they said, hey, you know, Mike, Pastor Mike, I need you to create me a playlist with, you know, some old school gospel music that you grew up with. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you know, just some gospel music that you grew up with, you know, with some rhythm and stuff. I said, I know what you mean. I got you. And so I went back and as I was working on a list, I went old school, Pastor Mike. I went way back. And there was a song that just gripped me because I was already working on this lesson, this message. And it was a song titled, You Can't Hurry God. And I love that song because in that song, they just sang it. And back then, saints weren't afraid to use the Bible when they wrote music. You know what I mean? That's something you should do. You know, look at the Bible. What does God say? But they said, you can't hurry God. And they said it like this with confidence. They said, look, God, he may not come when you want him, but guess what? He's always on time. Oh, I wish I had some help. Because guess what David is saying? David is telling you and me is that you can't hurry God. You can't push God. You can't make God go faster than you want him to. Oh, y'all don't believe me? Let me help you. You do. Y'all know the story of Lazarus, right? Everybody knows that story, right? Lazarus, God goes to Lazarus and he heals Lazarus. He raises him up. Everybody knows that. But you know what you forget about that story? You know what we forget about that story? Is that God, Jesus decided to intentionally delay going to love. You see, I'm trying. Jesus said, look, they come to him, oh, help Lazarus. And Jesus said, okay, I got to do some other stuff. I got to take my time away. But Jesus, Lazarus, I know, I got you. I got to do some other stuff. When I get there, I get there because guess what? My God doesn't worry about, you know, time changes and all that. He's not controlled by those things with time. So you can't hurry God in the midst of your situation. You got to patiently wait on God in his timing. You do read your Bible. You familiar with Jairus' daughter? He comes to Jesus. Jesus, go heal my daughter. Jesus is like, all right, let's go. They're walking. They're going to heal him. Somebody comes up and touches Jesus. Jesus said, who touched me? And you know what they say? The disciples are like, God, man, we in a crowd of people, man. We at like Disney World. You asking who touched you? Somebody touched you. Jesus took his time and dealt with the woman with the issue of blood. All the while, Jairus is getting the report that your daughter has died. You can't hurry God. Why? Because Jesus is like, watch this. I'm still going to go, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to resurrect that young girl, and you're going to behold the power of God, that he doesn't exist inside your time frame. So maybe you walked in here today wanting God to enact the miracle, but you can't wait on God. That's what, you can't hurry him. Let me see if I can I love the way the prophet said it. He said it so good, and we know this verse, and it's important. But those who wait on the Lord, what does he do? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I love this mindset of waiting. It's an anticipating that God is going to show up at any point. You're on the edge of your seat. You're ready. You're trusting in God confidently, knowing that he's going to show up at any point, not wavering. No, you just got to wait. God's coming. You just got to wait. God's coming. I there was a time in my life where I struggled with, you know, I was not in the ministry and I wanted to be in the ministry. I was working at a job that I would show up at. It was a grocery store job. And, you know, I was trying to figure out how do I show up to this place and still get paid without actually showing up. You know, now you could do that apparently, but, you know, this was way before COVID and some of the things that happened. But I mean, I was at this place and I didn't want to be there, but God had me there and I was wrestling with God. And I remember I walked in that day and there were just things that happened. And I had a moment in my lunch break and I wrote this poem, and I've shared it with our college students a few times, but I want to share it with you because I think it's fitting to what some of us go through. I wrote it like this. I said, I'm waiting for an open door. I can't take it anymore. My face just hit the floor. I want to run and hide. I guess I'll swallow my pride, take the hand that is dealt, suck it up, make the most out of it. Bloom where I'm planted, no need to panic or be frantic. Although the silence is so loud, the waiting so painful. The grass on the other side seems greener. I just want things to change and not be the same. So while I wait for an open door, I won't cry anymore. I'll soar in the sky as an eagle. In fact, I won't wait for an open door anymore. Because in order to soar, I must wait on God, trusting in his time and not mine. Having the faith to believe that he is in control and he holds all things in his hands, including the plans of man, including the suffering that comes at times that inspires me to write these rhymes. That maybe next time we cry out for an open door, we will see we didn't need an open door, but the faith to trust God all the more, because in his time, God will open a door. All too often in our life, we get in trouble because we run ahead of God. You can't walk confidently with God by running ahead of God. In a society that doesn't like to wait for anyone or anything, we show our confidence in God by trusting and waiting on him. Let's review, because I must take my seat. First thing I showed you, if we're going to walk confidently, God will deliver us from our enemies. God's sanctuary is a safe haven from our enemies. Supplication to God relieves us of our anxiety and fear. And supplication to God allows us to wait on God. You know, one of the things as I was getting ready to figure out, okay, how do I land this plane to help us understand how to walk confidently? I was reminded of one of the greatest franchise movies of all time. It's the greatest. It's the Mighty Ducks franchise. I mean, I love that. I love it. I wanted to be, you know, Gordon Bombay is probably one of the greatest coaches of all time. If you don't know who Gordon Bombay is, you need to do some research. You got Cake Eater, Goldberg. I mean, just you got the Bash Brothers, Knuckle Puck Time. I mean, the Mighty Ducks. I mean, I lived in Florida, and I'm out there trying to run the Flying V. We ain't got no ice, but I'm out there trying to run the Flying V. I mean, I love the Mighty Ducks. And I remember when I watched, you know, Mighty Ducks, the third one, the team, they were now in high school or middle school, one of them. And they got a new coach. Gordon Bombay, the greatest coach of all time, was gone. And this new coach was all about defense, defense, defense. And the players were struggling. The players couldn't understand why, you know, what was he doing? And as all good coaches do, they want to help you not just about the sport that you're playing, but they also want to help you in life. And the coach wrote these words down. He talked about being confident. He said, it's easy to be confident when you have control of the puck. It's very, very difficult to keep that confidence when you don't have control. When you have to take whatever strange bounces life throws your way. Don't be careless, but don't be too careful either. You cannot be afraid to lose. That's how you gain the confidence to attack the game when the puck isn't yours. That's how you attack life, even when you think you don't have any control. Dearly beloved, may I submit unto you is that you don't have control. You have no control. And it's only a matter of time before you can realize that the only way that we can walk in confidence is when we recognize we have no control. And we trust the sovereign hand of God that come what may, we'll worship. Whatever he lays before us, we'll praise him. Whatever he gives us, we will sing praises to God. Why? Because we know that even if we get to suffer, we suffer for his sake. And oh, that's a glorious day. And so I ask that you stand with me. If you and I are going to walk in confidence, it is not our strength, because we can always try harder. We can always do better. It is our ability to lay down all of our ability, all of our trying, all of our strength, in an effort to say that we trust in Jesus. We trust in his resurrection. We trust in his power. You don't walk in confidence because you are cocky or confident. You walk in confidence because of the one who went to the cross and paid it all. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you cannot walk in confidence in this life nor in the life to come. It's only by accepting the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross that you can walk in confidence, knowing that whatever comes our way, knowing that whatever challenges, whatever trials we face, the sovereign hand of God controls them all. And so as we get ready to pray, maybe you walked in today not as confident as you've been in the past. Come and repent and turn back to God. And maybe you walked in today saying, I don't know this confidence that you have. We'll have pastors and counselors here to talk with you. But whatever it is, you cannot leave here with confidence if you don't know God, if you don't trust God.
Thank you so much for watching us today. God is doing absolutely amazing things in and through our Grace Baptist Church family. If you'd like to share anything the Lord is doing in your life, feel free to reach out to us through our website or our app. And if you're ever in the Knoxville area, come by and worship with us and our family of faith here at Grace Baptist Church.